everyone, and welcome to the Seals podcast. I'm your host, Albert Davis, and welcome to episode 14 of the official Chester FC podcast. You can catch up on all of our episodes so far on theSealsPodcast.buzzsprout.com, and we're on all of your favourite apps, including Apple and Spotify. So let's get into it. Today's show will obviously be dominated by the big news of the week. It's the end of an era in many respects, as after 3.5 years in charge of the Blues, joint bosses Anthony Johnson and Bernard Morley parted company with the club following Tuesday's 1-0 home defeat to Guiseley. A board statement read that, "We want to place on record our appreciation for their significant contribution on and off the field in that time, and for immersing themselves in our unique football club. The pair arrived following relegation from the National League in 2017 and worked tirelessly to rebuild the team while also helping to re-energise our fan base." It continued and said, "Unfortunately, results and performances this season have not met expectations, and we feel now is the right time to make a change to give us the best possible chance of improving our league position." For many listeners who tune into the podcast regularly, would always hear Bern and Jono on the show being upfront and as candid as possible, even in the difficult moments. So I'm sure you will all join me in wishing them the very best for the future. Today we're joined by three guests to reflect on that news, and we start with CFU Chairman Andy Morris. I spoke to him just after the news dropped on Wednesday. Andy, we're speaking on the back of today's news that Blues joint bosses Anthony Johnson and Bernard Morley have parted company with the club. For the board, was it a difficult decision?
I think changing manager at any club, regardless of the situation that you're in, is always a difficult decision. There's such a multitude of factors that you need to consider when you're looking at changing managers. You know, it's looking historical in terms of where the club was when they came in, the work that they've done, and where we are now, and also where the direction that we're heading. And there's so much to consider within that, that it's never going to be an easy decision. There are always going to be people that agree, there are always going to be people that disagree. And that's the nature of football, and we see it in so many different ways. So, you know, was it an easy decision? The answer's got to be no. It wasn't an easy decision, it was a very tough one. But as a board, we think it was the right decision for the football club, for where we are at the moment and where we want to be moving forward.
You were a part of that board, obviously, that appointed them back in the summer of 2018. It had been a difficult season the year before the National League relegation and everything that had happened in that year. Overall, when we look back, they've done a fantastic job, the two managers, haven't they? Particularly in that year in helping to stabilise the football club.
Yeah, it feels like a lifetime ago now, doesn't it? 2018, and you know, everything that went with the relegation from the National League. And I don't think we can ever underestimate the work that the managers did behind the scenes. And I've put it in programme notes and things like that over the last few years, but actually where we have come forward behind the scenes with sports science, GPS fests, scouting, player recruitment, moving to the hybrid model, there is so much that's happened over that period of time. And then I'm not even talking about player sales and debuts for players and things like that. The amount that has happened behind the scenes in the context of a global pandemic that's impacted on budget. It's not something you really want to talk about in this situation, but the work that those managers have done for this club can never be underestimated, and without them, you know, I remember back to 2018, and you know, people were talking about double relegations being as our main objective for that season, was to make sure we weren't in the bottom three. You know, in the end, we missed out on the playoffs by a matter of a few points, and you know, put that in that context of what the managers had that season, walking in, trying to get players off the payroll. You know, the players that they were able to recruit was who they could get in, coming in, you know, in sort of middle of May into June, when a lot of other clubs have done their recruitment. And you know, we're only talking about season one there, when it was about stabilisation and how far we came forward. You then have to look at the following seasons, and you know, there will always be people who said we should have done more and we could have done more, and you know, actually the managers want to win every game, so I'm sure they'd be some of them. But you know, the progression that we've made as a football club off the pitch and around the footballing portfolio, for the want of a better word, again, has been huge. But ultimately, you know, we now need to kick on and move forward and look forward.
And as you say, look forward. In the short term, Danny Livesey, of course, been on the show before. He's made coming up to what is 100 appearances for the football club now. Has this opportunity in front of him to take over in the interim. It's an exciting opportunity for Danny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great for Danny. You know, the rationale behind Danny, you know, UEFA B coach. He's not somebody that, you know, we've just said, you know, when you're picking a manager, wasn't the first one to make eye contact. There's a little thought process that's gone into that, in that we felt the continuity in the short term was the right way to go. You know, he knows the players, he knows the players' strengths, and dare I say the players' weaknesses as well, but also he's his own man. So he's the right man to come in on a short-term basis. Obviously, he's got the qualifications, but it's about him now. You know, being trusted, he's going to take training this week, and as we go into Saturday's game, you know, as a club, we've got to get behind Danny as we move forward in the short term.
You said about the club as well. Obviously, that game coming thick and fast at Curzon in the FA Trophy. Not just the club, but the supporters as well. I'm sure they'll get behind him in that game, won't they?
Absolutely. We've seen the supporters. You know, you have to look at Hereford. Only under a week ago, the fantastic support that we had down there. You know, Curzon's always been one of those games where we seem to outnumber the home fans and outsing them as well. So I'm really hoping that will continue on Saturday. I know the FA Trophy maybe is a competition that maybe has its detractors, but it's a fantastic opportunity for a club like ourselves to get to Wembley. It's never happened, and wouldn't it be great if it did happen?
And that's obviously the short term for the club, for the board. What is the process in the long term for the manager's position?
Yeah, so we, you know, spoke then. Danny's the short term temporary option whilst we go through that process. I think it's multi-layered in terms of what do we want from the manager within this football club? What do we want moving forward? And that drives the managerial appointments. Naturally, everyone wants winning football, but there's more to running a football club and appointing a manager. That's just that, is what remit do we want to work in, and that's as a board we'll be going through the next few days is fine tuning that and moving through a recruitment process and finding the best match from a managerial perspective, match to the club.
So the situation could be developing in the coming days and weeks with regards to a new manager, but as mentioned there, in the short term, Danny Livesey takes the role on. We caught up with the defender and new interim manager ahead of his first night taking training before Saturday's FA Trophy clash at Curzon Ashton. Danny, sum up your emotions after what's been a strange week, I'm sure, for you personally, but also for the football club.
Yeah, I mean, I was absolutely gutted Wednesday morning. You know, when you hear the news, even if you kind of half expect it, you know, I think a lot of people kind of expected some sort of movement. But absolutely gutted, and, you know, the lads are the same. We feel like we've let them down, which we have. There's no way around it. We've let two managers down who have been nothing but, you know, unbelievable for this club. You know, I don't think it gets said enough that they come in when they've changed, what, that first year, changed 16 players, 15 players, got 3 points off, 3 points off the playoff with that squad who, no disrespect, they're nowhere near on paper any of the other squads, and we've got 3 points off the playoffs. Then the next year you make the playoffs, but then can't train before your playoff game because of furlough rules. And the next year you're second, and it just seemed like everything conspired against him when we were building any sort of momentum. And maybe that's just how it is, you know, at the club. And, you know, a lot of people sort of had it in for him at the start. And that'd be fair to say, you know, they expect him to come in and just go on and do wonders, when realistically we're in a lot more healthier position than when they took it because of what had gone on before. But yeah, it's been a crazy week when you look back and you start thinking about all the stuff we've done. And it's just, like I say, it's kind of moving forward now. I'm sure they'll want, and they've been brilliant with me. You know, I've spoke to them both and they were like, go and do the best you can. Obviously, we know it could be short-lived. We've been through that. Could be very short-lived. But while I'm here, I'm going to give it absolute everything. And hopefully, you know, we can get a few wins and the board can take the time and make the right decision rather than having to rush it, because we've been beat twice. And I think that'd be the best sort of situation, that we can, you know, we can get some results, and it just takes a little bit of time and the club can get it right on the next one.
Definitely. As you say, going back, you were a player that, that came in at the very beginning of their reign as well. And particularly that, that first year, like you said, that the club sort of needed to stabilise after a disappointing season. History will always favour them, won't they? They've done a good job at this football club, haven't they?
Yeah, fantastic. I've said to him many a time, I come in at what, 34 years old, and I've enjoyed football more these last 3 years because they've tried to change me. There was a time I'd never get the ball off the keeper, never try and play out. And now I watch defenders and go, now you've got to get the ball down. And it's mad what they've done. And if you've watched Chester for the last 3 years, take out, you know, a couple of bad results that people get hung up about, take away this year. But some of the football that you've seen, if you were here last year, and I know Cutler took a lot out of that. But if you would have seen some of the football we were playing, it was an absolute pleasure to play in. So it must have been unbelievable to watch it. And you'd like to think that that's what it'd be, that they'd get the recognition that they deserve for doing what they did with this football club at that time.
People have seen you play over the last 3 years or so. They'll know Danny Livesey, the player. Tell us a bit about Danny Livesey, the coach, where you're at and what you've done on that side of the game.
Yeah, so they've let me do a couple of sessions. They've been brilliant with me, you know, whenever I wanted to dip in or whenever they've needed someone, they've asked me to do it. And it's kind of never really changed. I love giving advice out. You know, I've spoke to you this before. I'm telling Joyce Lendon how to play midfield. You know, he doesn't take me seriously, but something might twig and he might think, you know what, I didn't even think about that. And it might be a load of rubbish, but I'll always offer, having seen what's caused those problems, centre forwards, you know, I always say this, and this is what's caused me problems. Have a little think about this. And the lads have been brilliant with that sort of stuff. You know, they might get in the car and laugh at it, but they've been brilliant. They've always took it on, and that doesn't change. I've always wanted the best for the club, even if I'm not playing. If I am playing, I want the lads to go out and win. You know, that's all. They're just a great bunch of lads, and they have been the last 4 years. They've all been brilliant. So it'd be nice to carry on sort of that. I'd just offer my advice, put on some sessions, you know, hopefully that they're learning and they're picking stuff up and they think, yeah, I've never really thought about that side of it before. And that'd be it for me. I'd be more than happy that, as long as if some of yous are learning and, you know, see where it takes us.
What can the supporters expect to see over these next however many games it is from a Danny Livesey Chester side? Will it be similar to sort of what we've seen in the past with you, sort of your own flavour on it, if you like?
Yeah, you'd like to think so. You know, I haven't got that much time to sort of do anything about it. I've said before, I don't actually think it wasn't, you know, it wasn't completely broken. What, when you go from this, I know results will say different, but I think confidence wise, I think that's just the key. You know, if it's pretty much the same squad as it was last year, where we were playing this unbelievable football and we just need to tap into what was doing that. And, you know, if we can get back to that, and I think, you know, the fans do deserve to see that again because they missed a lot of that. And I'd love them to kind of see us at full confidence going into games, knowing we're going to win them, knowing we're going to keep the ball for 70% of the time. And it'd be so good to see the stadium, you know, full and people actually go, you know, what a good team. This is the team that Bern and Jono have assembled, and this is the team that, you know, the fans deserve to watch.
First game is in the FA Trophy. Does that almost help you in a sense? You know, we've been fighting throughout this season for 3 points every Saturday, and the trophy's still an important competition, but does it almost ease the pressure a little bit going into Saturday?
It's just a different competition. You know, it's crazy how people think, but if it was a league game, I think, you know, the lads had all been, you know, it looks like they've come across slightly nervous. This is, you know, when you go in there, different competition, form, and it's the old cliche, and it form goes out the window, you know, all that. But it kind of does. It kind of just resets you. And you go, you know what? Let's go and give it a go. It's a one-off game. Let's go and just give it our best, see where that takes us, and try and just build momentum from that. And I think it's a good one to kind of come into.
Also, in terms of the opposition as well, psychologically for the players, is there some payback on the cards after what happened earlier in the season in the league?
Yeah, I think they caught us at a really low point when they come here. We were, you know, we'd gone to Farsley, done really well in the end. I know it was 2-2. We should have gone on to win it, but it was always going to catch up with us that next game because we'd missed. You know, lads had missed so much, and we kind of never really recovered from that, you know, despite what people, we just never recovered from sort of the injuries, the illnesses that we had at the start. And every time we kind of got one, we couldn't get two, and you couldn't get it going again. So I wouldn't say it's payback, but it'd be nice to go, right, look how much better we are. Even if we're just in it, you know, we're in a game now, we're competing, we, we're not just going there and they're absolutely thumping us again. We're going there and we're competing, and you can see that we're full of confidence and we're getting fit. You know, we're fit to go and, you know, compete and just see what that does.
Some of the followings on this road, on the road this season have been really good. Curzon is a place traditionally where we have a fantastic away following as well. How important will the supporters be getting behind the team and getting behind yourself in this moment for the club?
Yeah, they've been fantastic at some away. And, you know, I think the one for me was Kidderminster this season, where we took a bit of a beating. I know it wasn't so much on the result, but we took a bit of a beating. And we walked over to Clapham at the end, and you're kind of walking over thinking, oh, we're going to get a little bit sticky. And they were unbelievable. They stayed with us all game, clapped us off at the end, you know, and I think they get to the point where they deserve to see something. They deserve us to put on a performance, because I know a couple have turned at home, and I get that. We've got to win them back. That there's no other way around it. This is a team, have to win them fans back. It is on us, but they're so important. When you go there and they chant from start to finish, and you just kind of get that little bit of adrenaline, you know, the hair stand up, and you're ready for it. And it'd be nice to have that massive following, and hopefully we can put on a performance for him.
Definitely. Danny, wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you.
So we've had the chairman, we've had the interim manager, and we wrap it up with the club captain. George Glendon paid a truly glowing tribute to the outgoing managers in the week on social media, and here he is talking about the news. Glenno, you were somebody that came out on social media this week and said that you probably wouldn't be playing football still if it wasn't for Burn and Jono. Off the back of the news that came out on Wednesday and Tuesday's results, you personally, as a person and as the captain as well, must have been sad to see them go.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said in my tweet, I wouldn't be playing football without them both and what they did for me and my family. You know, I can never really repay them. Just, you know, sad times really, but I spoke to them both, and they both, you know, was encouraging me to play the best football I can now and, you know, see what happens from here.
Of course, there was that news and Tuesday night's defeat. You sort of take the news out of it. I'm sure it's a hurting dressing room after the result and the performance as well that came Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely. The lads feel like they've let the Burn and Jono down, the gaffers, and we feel like we're taking all the responsibility for it. You know, as lads were texting each other, texting me, and everyone was just down about it, sad. Felt like we were the ones who let them both down. So, you know, it's hard times. Everyone's gutted, because we thought when we came to the season, start of the season, went to Bangor pre-season, everyone thought, you know, this was going to be the one where we do something special. And, you know, most of this squad has been together for 2-3 years. And for two of them seasons, it's been COVID. Like, you know, yourself, Albert, it's been stop and start. And, you know, all the Zoom calls that we've had to do and all the players taking pay cuts. It's, you know, it's been a really tight-knit group. And it is emotional that it's actually come to an end. But like you just said before the interview then, it is football. And it's how we react now. And, you know, I'm sure the gaffers, as much as it hurts them, believe in us, that they'll want this squad to do well.
And of course, we look back and talk about COVID. It is a big theme, particularly within this group as well, sort of that unfinished business, if you will. In terms of when the fans, the supporters, and also ourselves, you know, myself, you, players, look back, though, I'm sure everyone would look back and be proud and encouraged about what the two managers have done here, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, me and my family have a bar and a cafe, just where I'm from in Hill Green, and you know, I have regular customers now who follow Chester just because I play for them. And it was interesting the other day, actually, one of the guys said to me that, have you finished a full season at Chester? And I've been here for 3 years and I haven't. Do you know what I mean? So the goal that we had at the start of the season, we've never actually been able to complete it the way we should. And who knows what might have happened last season. But like I said before, it's just sad times, and you know, as the group is as close as we are together, and we was with the gaffers and Ackers, you know, it's just emotional to part ways. But you know, it's football, and like I said before, I know the gaffers will be rooting for us to do well.
Absolutely, and I'm sure somebody that they will be rooting to do well is somebody that you know well in Danny Livesey that's taken over in interim charge. What sort of discussions have you had with him so far since he's sort of come into the role in the last few days?
To be honest with you, I think it's been hard for Livs because, you know, football, it's the worst industry to be in sometimes. And people will think, you know, has he snaked him? Has he been the rat? And listen, Livesey and the two gaffers were really, really close. And you know, when I spoke to Livesey yesterday, that was his first thing. He just wanted to get across to the gaffers that, you know, he at the start, I don't think he really wanted to take it on. But I think after having a chat with two gaffers, they've encouraged him. They've told him that, you know, this might be your next step in your career, the next stage. So give it all you got, because people might judge you from, you know, whether he's in the job for a week, 2 weeks, or to the end of the season. So I think after having a chat with the gaffers, with Ben and Jono, the gaffers, and, you know, they've encouraged him to go for it, and I think that's made him feel miles better. And, you know, I get on with Livs really well, and he's a lad in the change room who's respected by all the players. You know, when he speaks, everyone listens, and he's had a big input all season, so I think the lads will respond well to him.
In terms of that and responding well, his first game in interim charge, if you like, is that FA Trophy tie away at Curzon this Saturday. What does the team need to do in order to beat Curzon?
Well, when the draw was made, we knew it was payback time because what they did here to us. But I think at the moment, just the way things are, we need to start games like we did against Boston, and perform like we did against Darlington. I know we were 2-0 down against Darlington, but we played well. This first half against Hereford, we started well. So I think we just need to get back to that and, you know, stick together now out there. You know, we're in a bit of an awkward position in the table where you can go both ways. So we just got to stick together. Like I said, the group's close. And, you know, we do owe a bit of revenge to Curzon, but first of all, we need to stay in the game as long as we can.
And in terms of our last trip to Curzon, if you cast your mind back, I think it was your second game as a Chester player, and a fantastic away following that night, and a great victory and a great moment under Bernard Jono, of course, as well. How important will the supporters be in the coming weeks as well, sort of backing Livs, backing the players, and sort of getting us through this period?
Yeah, I mean, that game was the reason why I signed, because of the fans. You know, Bernard Jono said, just come and play two games, and I seen him in the bar afterwards, and I said to him, yeah, I'll give this a great go. And that was just because of the noise that the fans made. And, you know, the fans, I think it's been hard for everyone at the club because, like I said, we've had two seasons where the fans, where COVID has made us stop, and we had last season without the fans, so they're desperate to see us play. And this season just hasn't been the same as what we were doing last season. But the away support is always top class. I've had some great away days while I've been here, even with a season missing of fans, you know what I'm trying to say. So I'm sure Saturday they'll get behind the team, and they'll get behind Livs as well.
So that wraps us up. Thanks for tuning in today. Drop us a tweet if you enjoyed the episode, or give us a rate. And if you can, then have a little peek at our donations page to help us keep improving the Seals podcast. Link is in the description. Next time we're with you, well, we'll be Christmas Day for episode 15. I'll catch you then to look back at what I'm sure will be another busy month here down at the Diva. I'm Albert Davis, and as ever, it's been a pleasure. Bye for now.